is the guy that was working with NOSIC, that they're using now to plan and stuff. It's good, he's not good enough. Get another guy. Very good, but we need a guy with a little more structure. You said you wanted another breakfast with Mike. You want to do that tomorrow morning? You got, well, that raises the other question of what kind of meeting you want tomorrow. Henry thinks you want an NSC meeting. And Rogers says he talked to you about a NIDIS meeting, which he considers to be the limited group. Kissinger, Rogers, Larry Mills, and this guy. That's the kind of NSC meeting I want, okay? It is an NSC meeting of that, but the limited group. You don't want Conti?
No, or that I don't want to hear any of the politics. Just a small, what we call a small group of the NSC, and this team will be.
Okay, we've got that 10 of them for 10. Stop the other dinner tonight. But then the question is whether you have breakfast with Mike. And she was in the morning or not. The next day is Thursday, which is your Williamsburg thing. We've got the morning clear before, oh, you gotta get something together. You don't leave till 12:40.
Oh.
And you speak at 2 o'clock. You have a little breakfast with Mike at 3. Might as well. And tomorrow, on Wednesday, 8:30 a.m. There is apparently no disagreement on the NSC meeting. So all we have to do that, okay. Henry said that he wanted a full group.
But yes, he don't call him talking to the NSC.
Oh, that's what's on the email. Okay, fine. So I'll get each of them. Then he wanted board speaker and Boggs. That would be at next week, I presume. Or do you want that before you?
Well, let's do that.
Do that Thursday. Can't do it Friday, we leave at 8:50 Friday, Thursday.
For a little way of spring.
Yeah, or wait till next week.
Webs also. There's a web team.
No, Mr. Connors.
Talk to you.
received or adopted by the law this last night?
Yes, you may.
And I have heard.
I think you got enough to lose in all kinds of possibilities.
I understand that. I'm not going to get another thing.
I definitely hold policy. They love to beat the men on hard. So I think I understand that's not the purpose, guys. As an example of the kind of
time, just a second, who are they? It's a hell of a group.
I mean, how do they get organized? They connect some oil.
Kirkendall and Ford put together.
Good. All House members.
Yeah, Ford, Kirkendall, Bud Brown, Barbara Condell, Sylvia O'Connor, John Dellenbach, Sam DeWitt, Jack Edwards, Earl Moore, Marvin Ash, John Kyle, Jim McClure, Brad Moore.
So they don't have names anymore, I understand. They're good, that's a good group.
Both speakers, and the thought was, they're going to be working from now through June, traveling around as a, speakers.
Great, Council Works. Like the idea of dinner.
I don't know where they get the 45, it's 15, I think they've got.
So there were 45, but apparently.
Maybe they've expanded.
Maybe not, whatever it was, I want to be sure that I'm scheduled, I want to do.
No, you are not, that question, you going, never came up except in context of making the phone call. Which was just a, that was just an off.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
And, we did it. John just thought it'd be a good touch, because he was going to be up talking to him.
I mean, he's going to go up to do it.
No, he wants to.
He's just working in jail.
Problem with that. Rumsfeld is, did he have anything to say yesterday?
Yeah, about what he's going to do with the program. They sort of came around the fact that he ought to be the trade man. Be good.
Trade?
Central trade representative, so he can offer the president. He's interested in foreign affairs. He'd be a top strong guy. This guy's there and worth a damn.
I thought we were going to abolish that office.
No, we just have to keep it.
What does that do vis-a-vis Peterson?
Oh, well, he needs to meet somebody to have.
I see.
We had a meeting about it, so you can talk to Peterson. Talk to Schultz about it, say that, you know, I'm Rumsfeld for that job. He's a good politician, he'll get along with Peterson and so forth. It requires all sorts of negotiations and so forth.
And it gives him a substantive,
Substantive staff. And run it around the world. So, that's what I think you could do. You check it out. He's something to do, though.
Ranked of ambassador.
He needs something to do, cannot freewheel that bench, his nature.
That's, as John's mentioned, what he was saying to me is he intended, he was concerned about seeing himself in a line assignment.
I'm glad you thought your meeting went all right, though.
Well, yeah, we were talking about what was going on. They were saying they're going on. I said, why? They started ticking back the things that the comments said. That they thought they could do as a result of it. You know, making the point, he can make an awfully good point.
Was he entering your meeting?
This one he did.
Oh.
Yeah, we have Buchanan.
Darling, you won't come.
Well, he not only came, but he finally spoke. He didn't speak until clear at the end, but he did speak up then. And he made a very cogent point, which was that he said, what this adds up to is that we've got to reassess our priorities. And we've got to move up, each of us individually, to the top of our list, our contacts with the press, and our opportunities to make contact externally. He said, we've gone the other way on it, at least I have, and I think most of us have, where when we, if we get time and have nothing else to do, we'll return a press call, but we don't initially. Yeah, so,
maybe.
He said, the point is not so much returning press calls, as it's making a point ourselves of taking the initiative and getting those stuff.
I would have to concentrate on how we're on writing press, which is not the problem.
No, but it'll make some points.
It'll make some points.
The key is now
the way to get a little of that out, too. You know, that
starts. And it starts. There is
a fact which are on the wall. Well, Conley believes that,
One column helps. Well, for the sake of the readers to come, but also a column around here helps because it gets the TV guys see it, too. It's one more drop on the TV guys.
You're right.
And there
You're
is
right.
some value to that. It's indirect as well, but it has some value.
Good. I'm glad you had a meeting.
And
apparently Conway was willing that now he'll just keep up his steam and take the cabinet off.
He will.
The other where it's needed.
The other point Conway made to the staff, and I guess it's not, I don't think you have felt this, is he says we do a lousy job, the White House staff does a lousy job in its relations with Congress. And then it's unforgivable. And he said he has a fixed rule. That is the thing Bryce said that we should all have.
Returning calls.
Not returning, taking. She said, "Not you."
Not me.
No, not you.
Oh, I
got everybody in here, though. Everybody else.
Yes.
She said, "When a call from a congressman comes in, your office should be instructed that you that that call is to be put through, whether you're in a meeting or anything else." And then she said, "If I do that, and whenever if I'm in a meeting, I then say, Congressman, I'm in a meeting right now. Could I call you back on this?" But I always take the call. I never let the secretary push a congressman aside, because he said a congressman or a senator looks at himself as your equal. He doesn't think he should be put aside. Maybe he's not.
He is right. The only point the guy is arguing that is that then it takes the heat off you, and that was the point he was making. When our staff has gone completely in the other direction, they come in and they pile up the calls. They say, "You have to earn the calls, have breakfast with this group," and so forth. But I've always said, Bob, I said, every time you guys are people here, the more you can see these calls, the less I am to see.
Well, he's made the point, which I have agreed with some, which is that he said, this staff also is too good at the passion for anonymity business. He said, you guys
have
got to be built up more than you have been. As individuals.
Sure.
That doesn't mean you run around, getting a lot of...
He doesn't want to go as far as Hissinger.
That's right. And he said that, but he said it kind of generally.
I hope, because I went Hissinger there, I hope he didn't get that too hard.
No, he said it the other way, but he said that he made the point that he said I forgot how he did it, but he did it directly, but generally. But said you do have to get out. The staff does.
Yeah.
And, because he said, "Now I know damn well that in the Eisenhower days here, most people," he said, "I was around during some of that time." He said, "If I ever wanted something at the White House, I never wanted to talk to Eisenhower. I wanted to talk to Sherman Adams.
Or Jerry Pershing.
Because that's where I could get it done. Not Eisenhower. Eisenhower was a ceremonial thing that we, it was nice
that
we had someone in town, but to get some work done, never. Never talk to the president."
Sure. And you know what you got to do? As I say, the reason I like this idea of this congressman and so forth is that Gene Bob is, as I said, being a group of Nixon loyalists. And I think you've got to think in those terms. Maybe Nixon loyalists from the staff, and maybe there's 10 or 15, maybe there are 15 in the Congress that you consider to be the real loyalists, the really guys at all. Go out and fight when you die. You've got a few in the country, you know, political types and so forth.
As you said, in the business,
we really need that group of absolute Nixon loyalists, and then they talk it up all the time. That's the way it works, Bob. And they've got to have a constant communication and so forth. I think rather than this blizzard of stuff, I think maybe it's a lack of focus that is our problem. What the hell is and all that? Well, I think college point of view do so many things, well, I'll give no credit for it. That is to an anonymous. Staff should be part of the Congress. And that's absolutely true. They bring everything they take money off of me.
And more available to the press. It's just
the press has to
be senior staff people. He said, "God, if you can't trust you fellows to use the right judgment what you're going to say to the press, then you got no hope anyway. So you better get out and start talking.
You have some trouble if you
know,
rich, for example."
Boy, he hit him hard at the start, too, and on the leaking of the meeting. He said, "I noticed that this administration has another flaw besides the one Bob mentioned, because I led into it with the police law." He said, "This meeting, the fact of this meeting must not be known. And we've got to be able, in our inner circles here, to gather without the world being aware that we all have."
Absolutely.
And
he's a valuable man to have around, isn't he?
Oh, he really is.
I mean, it's sort of good to have a guy around. He's extremely, sort of sets the things that we sort of want.
He's very, he's no buddy-buddy at all, the guy.
Uh-huh.
And that's what's impressive about him. Scott.
I think he did, as a matter of fact, we hit it off rather well for the very reason that, although he's more gregarious, appears to be more gregarious, but I'm gregarious enough to have to do it. He doesn't believe in being familiar.
But he more gregarious in a way that you have to see, you know, when you move into a receiving line or when you're working with people at a state dinner or something, you do exactly the same thing you do.
But it's Dan, you know, he's good for everybody to hear. His guard doesn't go down. And last night he was tough and he was direct and he was cold. And, you know, he laughed and all that, but he came back to the point. Yeah, he didn't laugh very much and he didn't wander off telling jokes.
He didn't like Price.
No, and he wasn't trying to win himself. You know, he wasn't trying to get us to love him. He wasn't even a buddy to this group. I mean, he knows
that. Could I?
He established his superiority.
I've decided another thing immediately that on these legislative leaders' meetings and also the cabinet meetings from now on, I think there's been too much of a tendency, Bob, to let have me do it. I've got to charge him up and lead him.
That's right.
From now on, you know what I mean? And I do it. And it's just wrong. From now on, like this morning, I didn't know I was supposed to call on all these jackasses to make. They did well, too. Tell the Harper and Price they both did well. Harper did well. But I want early, whoever is in charge, I want them to be in charge of the meeting, not calling on this subject that we're going to be briefed on. So and so will be in charge. And then he takes over and I just sit there and listen. Then I don't have to do it. You see, when I have to do it, I got to kid around a little or not that so much as to introduce these people and pat them on the ass.
That's what
I do. I should not do that.
Sure.
These meetings should be run this now.
And the non-substantive cabinet meetings, which we're still yet to have one of, you pretty much have to do it, but you shouldn't. And Bill keeps saying, he says, you don't understand these right yet of what he's trying to get you to do in them. He said, telepresence is not his obligation to keep the meetings going, and it's not his obligation to charge it up. The whole point of it is just the opposite. And then that's why you should just open it and say, gentlemen, this is an open session, go ahead. And then just sit back in your chair.
Yeah.
Let it go like a Quaker meeting. No one stands up and talks and have a little silence for a while.
Yeah.
It won't.
Okay. Yeah, what were you talking?
Rumsfeld, I started to ask you, raised the question as to whether he could sit in the meeting with the CBS executives today. And it was purely exploratory. I don't think he should, no.
No. The meeting we had yesterday with the Kroner turned out to be bad because by the time Schultz got through, he had 12 people in there. It was too many.
Really?
Because they just kept inviting people all the time.
I see.
Stein, Kennedy, Schumann. Anyway, it doesn't 12, at least 10 of us.
You've got to keep them down.
You've got to keep meetings down. Tell him no. And I don't want anybody else in that meeting, incidentally, with CBS. I want Colson and myself, and that's all.
You had Klein and Ziegler.
Oh, right. So you have to have...
I think you should.
Well, all right.
Klein's doing the...
All right.
You know, we're using him in that. So,
and don't have Colson.
You should have Chuck, too.
You,
all three of them are working
in that field, and that's all you should have, sir.
That's right.
It's just a waste of time, probably.
That's what you have with ABC and
I don't know the first meeting. No. Bob, don't let me get too big.
Okay. Now, cut the pole.
Yeah.
Our pole.
Oh, yes.
And this is 51-36. We're up 3. We're up 3 on approval and up 1 on disapproval. But the don't know that no opinion is down, which is the thing you talking about it being high. It's back down to 13 from the 17 we've gone up to. Interesting. On some of the other questions, we asked a lot of questions in a lot of directions. Do you approve or disapprove of the way Nixon's handling the Vietnam situation? Approve 41, disapprove 47. It's almost precisely what Gallup got, which was 41-46.
That's not an act of the government.
Harris, of course, Harris is 34-61. Then, do you think the operations in Laos will shorten the length and or make no difference? This part's interesting. Before, it was 22 short and 24 lengthened. Now it's 27 short and 20 lengthened. There's that switch. It went up 5 on the short and down 4 on the lengthened. And so that switched over the weekend. Now the other thing is, President Nixon has said that the increase
incursion in the Laos is part of his plan to continue American troop withdrawals from Vietnam. Do you approve or disapprove of these incursions? Approve 43, disapprove 38. On Friday, it was 39-42. Just changed it a little. What changed a lot? From a 3-point disapproval to a 5-point approval.
And reverse the question.
Exactly the same question. 4 days later.
The handling of the war question, you know what that relates to? It seems to me just to the general problem of dissolution of the war.
Sure. I think if you said anything about it, do you approve of the Vietnam situation? I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
Most people. Now, there's an interesting switch here, though, on something.
Anger.
No. We didn't ask the anger questions. We wanted to ask a bunch of these others. We tried this one. There has been some talk about a possible invasion of North Vietnam by South Vietnam with U.S. air support. Do you believe that President Nixon will permit this, or won't he? Because that's the point that they were making at that point. He will permit it, 44. He won't, 31. In other words, they think he will permit it. But then, would you approve or disapprove such an invasion if President Nixon felt it was necessary to protect American lives during his program for withdrawal of American troops from Vietnam? Purposely loaded.
Yeah,
but just to smoke one thing out. Approve 65, disapprove 26. And there's an interesting thing. You know, everybody, when McCarthy won in New Hampshire, said it showed disapproval of the president's war policy. We now know that it was because the president wasn't doing enough. It wasn't peace next, it was war next. It was Hawks. We asked the communist China question. There's 38 yes, 48 no.
They're still against their admission.
Do you believe communist China should be admitted to the United Nations? Yes, 38, no, 48.
But
it's nothing.
I'll let you know my opinion.
It's not overwhelming, but it's...
I know, it's very important.
Now, we didn't make the point on the TV networks. We said, how would you rate the TV networks in their reporting of the Laos operation? Excellent, 13. Good, 37. Fair, 33. Poor, 13. If you combine the two good ones, it was 50, and the two fair and poor were 46. In other words, they're not high, but they're not down. Then we said, do you believe the TV network commentators have been fair in their comments about the Dallas operation, or have they been unfair? Then 59 fair, 23 unfair. So they're in pretty good shape. Then we asked the same question Harris or Gallup was asked. Do you think the Nixon administration is or is not telling the public all they should know about the Vietnam War?
You always get a no on that.
Yeah, 27 yes, 67 no.
Is that exactly the way Gallup's always asked the question, or is it?
I want to talk about
that a little bit.
Yeah, I think it is. Then we asked another question directly, which is, there's been a lot of discussion recently about credibility regarding the Laos operation. How would you rate the credibility of the president, the TV commentators, the press, the leaders of Congress, and the Pentagon? High, medium, or low?
Oh, yeah.
President, high 26, medium 43, low 22. TV commentators, 18, 47, 21. Press 17, 49, 23. Congress 14, 46, 23. Pentagon 14, 35, 27. Now if you combine high and medium, which are the, you know, any credibility at all, the president comes out with 69, of which 26 is high. The TV come out 65 with 18 high. Press 66 with 17 high. Congress 60 with 14 high. And Pentagon 49. 14. The Pentagon's credibility is way down.
But I think its credibility is very high.
I think with regard to the ocean,
we probably hit it about the right time because it's, well,
there's some erosion.
The fact that a lot of people don't believe it is something. I mean, I bet you if you'd taken that, if you'd asked the question before, but it's been a lot worse, you know what I mean, probably, on the TV. Yeah, as far as we're concerned. But I can, and also may show this, that you may have been getting more complex. You get my point? People are not as subtle as we are. I mean, we're not, people don't get quite as subtle. didn't directly say, I didn't say, look, these people are not telling the truth.
Sure.
I said, you said, just like they said, and they proved it wrong. You know, I said it in a very kind, generous way, as a matter of fact.
You didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't say the recording was bad. You just said that it had been there. You just said 999, you said it. You haven't said it.
Our whole PR operations, what do you think?
indicates the concern is lost. And I think it's just that